Home Improvement with Dave Fisher and Jan Eakes on CJAD 800.
Thank you. Well, in fact, Jan Eakes is off for 3 or 4 weeks, I think. We're very lucky, though, to have an expert in studio with us that you can ask him anything that you might have asked Jan Eakes. He really knows his stuff. Well, he should. He's the president of Renovco, and he's here joining us in studio this morning. It's Walter Assey. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, Dave.
And welcome to CJAD. It's nice to have you back.
Oh, welcome back as well from your vacation.
Yeah, it was very interesting indeed. Now, at this time of year, we usually are up to our knees in all kinds of water. We haven't had rain, I think, in 10 days. Is that about it? And one of the things we always talk about at this time of year when the lawn, for example, is saturated, is don't walk on the lawn. You know, because those footprints will be there all summer long until you fill them up. But that doesn't seem to be a problem. I'm wondering if with the dryness, it means an opportunity to think of, improving the landscaping around the foundation and stuff?
Absolutely. It's a good time to regrade the land right now. And I mean, especially that we've seen a lot of foundation crack issues.
Have you?
Yeah, we have, actually. Just simply in the spring thaw, okay? Water, that's when people start seeing water in their basements and what have you. And it's a great time right now to start channeling the water away from your foundation, looking at your gutters, sloping them away as well. You would be surprised how many homes we go to and they have foundation issues and water infiltration, and the gutter have no gutter extensions on it. Well, great, they have a gutter, but it's actually making the matters worse, just bringing the water from all over the roof and directing it in one area in the foundation.
And that's going to cause trouble.
That's even worse than, not having a gutter at all.
Speaking of extensions to the downspouts, my neighbor bought some, and I got to ask him where he got them, and a great big round, about, I'd say 4 or 5 inches around. It goes down to kind of a rectangle to fit the downspout from your gutters, and it goes 10, 15 feet away from the house. And I thought, that's exactly what I need.
That's a lot. I mean, you're pretty much in your neighbor's yard.
It goes out the front, so yeah, it's not a problem. An issue. No.
Yeah, but that's great. The minimum you need would be 5 feet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that. Yeah. Anything below 5 feet is not really doing you as much of a good job. And anything after is an overkill. So 10, 15, unless you have a really bad graded land, then, 5 feet should be more than sufficient.
Now, we're calling for a sunny day today, obviously, but clear tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, the rain beginning in the afternoon. So if you wanted to do something, time would be of the essence because we have a couple of rainy days coming. Mm-hmm. Would you agree to that?
Absolutely.
All right. I should forgive me for not doing the telephone numbers. If you have a problem around your house, this is the man to talk to. Whether you're looking at things like we were just saying about grading and foundations and so on, Walter can answer those questions. If you have any concerns about the fun stuff, by that I mean bathrooms, kitchens, rec rooms, and so much more. Walter Assey is the president of Renovco. He's here at your service at 514-790-0800. Star Talk is free on Bell Mobility. And if you're out of town, it's long distance, but absolutely free to you. Out of town, 1-800-491-CJD. That works across our home and native land and even into the U.S. Ready to go? Let's go to Il Perot. Good morning, Eric.
Hi.
Hi,
Jan. I have a quick question. I'm running a cable. Well, I want to put power in my shed for the heat pump and the water, the pool filter. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to put like a 60 amp breaker in the house and like put a 60 amp panel in the shed. And I'm looking at 70 feet in between both the shed and the house. What gauge of cable or wire do I need to use to power the panel in the shed?
Well, the gauge, I can't really tell you that, but I could tell you it has to be an exterior wiring, obviously, right? You're running that from your panel at home all the way to the shed, aren't you?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, are you running this overground or underground?
It'd be underground.
Okay. So underground, you have a couple of things. You need to have like those tubes.
Yeah.
And you need to have exterior wiring, and that's very important.
Okay.
So, I mean, don't forget, we've seen cases where people were excavating, let's say, and by mistake they hit the wire, and you have all kind of issues with corrosion.
So what kind of wire should you use?
I don't know the gauge of the wire.
Okay.
But is it shielded somehow?
Well, actually, no. The wire itself is an exterior wire, mm-hmm. but you can buy those tubes, little tubes that you put underneath, and mm-hmm. that works great, and it ensures the longevity. Because, I mean, the last thing you want to do is to dig up that wire and redo it again if you have a problem.
And one other question. There is two kind of material. It's either aluminum or copper. Both are available. Is there like an advantage in using one over the other?
The new aluminum wires are fine. The old ones I would worry about because they used to cause all kind of problems and they used to cause fires and what have you. The new ones have been radically improved, so I don't have a problem with that. Obviously, the aluminum ones are cheaper.
Okay.
The copper ones is more tried, tested, and true. So that's more the standard that you would see in most homes today.
Okay.
But it really depends on your budget. If you have the budget for it, go ahead and get the copper ones.
Okay.
But the aluminum ones are as good, and I would not worry about it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that's good.
Good luck. Thanks for the call. Let's go to, I seem to have lost. Oh, there it is. Billy, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Go right ahead.
I was just curious. I had a question about spray foam insulation mm-hmm. in an attic. Mm-hmm. If I was to go the route of creating a fully conditioned space in an attic with spray foam insulation, be it closed cell or open cell, and assuming that everything is done correctly to insulate, how do I need to protect myself for the exterior if moisture gets onto the wooden roof through the shingles, through the waterproofing? I was just curious, what route should I take? Would I have to redo all my shingles and the sheathing on the outside at the same time in order to ensure a good seal? That was really my question.
So let me understand this, Billy. Are you talking about making the attic a room?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Now, you would only need to address the roof if the roof is old and starting to have issues. If it's already watertight and you don't have any issues, you shouldn't. You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. My question to you would be, how old is your roof?
Well, we had just bought the house, and the roof was not, the attic was not, it didn't have proper airflow, so okay. It wasn't a proper cold zone. Mm-hmm. So the back of the roof, which faces north, the shingles have already started to lift a bit mm-hmm. because I could tell they're just getting too much heat from underneath and above. So I was wondering, if I did go the route of spray foam insulation, would I have to recheck, the exterior of the roof in terms of moisture going into the wood once the spray foam is there underneath? You know, what protective measures should I make sure to do on the outside?
Let's get one thing straight. The spray foam is not going to stop the wood from getting humid or rotting if water does touch it. So, and obviously we all know water should not or humidity should not be touching wood. Just by you telling me that your shingles have started to curl, I mean, that's an indication that, the shingles are at the end of their life. And that's something that I would actually look into changing. When you do change the shingles, there's other things that you want to look at when you're doing a roofing job. Number one would be the eye shield membrane. Now, the code stipulates 3 feet. So most roofers will give you 3 feet. But most roofers don't tell you that, the actual logic speaks about the slope of the roof as well. So if you have a very low slope, 3 feet is not going to cut it for you. You want to go 6 feet, you want to go sometimes 9 feet. In certain cases, we eye shield the whole roof just because we don't have a proper slope.
That's what they did on my roof. Welcome back. It's the Home Improvement Show on CJD 800. Nice to be back. I'm Dave Fisher, and our expert this hour, Yannick's, is in Europe for a couple of weeks, and I'm very pleased to welcome back from Renovco Renovations, Mr. Walter Assey, who's the president over there. Look at that, Mr. Assey.
Yeah.
Look at you, huh?
You make me look older.
Are we going to? Oh, come on. I think Billy is still with us. Bill, are you there?
I am.
Please continue.
Right. So I was just, wanted to see... I think you were answering my question earlier where you were saying better to address maybe the exterior of the roof first
mm-hmm.
before I considered the type of insulation route I would go on the interior.
Well, here's the thing with the insulation inside, okay? Number one, you need adequate insulation so you prevent any problems with condensation and so on and so forth. Sometimes, unfortunately, the roof rafter doesn't allow for proper insulation. So the minimum code would be R31, which is attic insulation. Obviously, you cannot jam it up in the roof in a way that you don't have any airflow, okay? So in, by doing so, you can actually decide yourself. Number one, what you want to do is you want to have some baffles around the soffit area. That's the number one thing you want to think about, because you want to keep the air from flowing into your attic. You have to think of your attic as a space, if you're going to do the regular insulation, that have to have the same temperature as the outside. It cannot be colder, it cannot be warmer, okay? That's how you know if your roof is properly ventilated, your attic is properly ventilated. So if that doesn't work, then you're going to explore the urethane insulation, which is more costly, okay?
Right.
Which is more costly. Now, so that's something you can actually decide by looking in the attic itself. But for sure you have to stop any water source. So if you have any shingle curling, you want to look into changing your shingles. Now, it's not really just changing the shingles. You want to look at many things. You want to look at the soffits. You want to look at the shingles. You want to look at the eye shield membrane, the ventilation on the roof itself, the maximum you're going to install, how many of them you need. It depends on the size of the roof and so on and so forth. And I would encourage the consumer to be a bit more proactive. We tend to give a lot of confidence to roofers because it's a subject that we can't really check by our eyes, and we let them do whatever they want. And, you know, some roofers do cut corners. So,
right.
You know, that's why I'm saying the eye shield membrane is a very important thing for the slow pitch.
So assuming you did go the more expensive route of the spray foam insulation,
yeah,
to create a fully conditioned space, assuming everything is perfect, and let's say the shingles were actually well done, there was,
yeah,
no curling,
mm-hmm,
and you had your full membranes, would you have to worry down the road because of the spray foam insulation? Would you have to always worry down the road how often you need to check your roof to make sure that no moisture has gotten into the wood?
Well, the good thing if you're worrying just about the insulation, the good thing with the urethane, it does not lose R value like the fiberglass. So even if it gets a bit damp, it's not going to lose its R value. So that you know, in a way, you're a winner. You would worry about humidity or water infiltration for other reasons, because it will cause damage to the house and mold and so on and so forth.
Right. Specifically for the wood, my question was always specifically for the wood of the roof.
Okay.
Because if you have the spray foam insulation, then you're not having your traditional cold airspace,
yeah,
flowing through.
Yeah.
So what are I was just curious in my head, what were the do's and don'ts about protecting that wood, which you've answered? And then,
yeah,
just down the road, would I be checking my roof every 10 years, 5 years?
It depends on the quality roof that you're going to have. I mean, if you use good quality shingles, you have roofs that will last you up to 25 years.
Bill, on that note, we're going to have to run.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thank you for the call. Very good. Let's go ahead and talk to Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Go right ahead, Scott.
I bought a house a couple of years ago. It has radiant floor heating, hot water throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when they built the house, they put white ceramic tiles all through it. And obviously, it's a disaster to keep clean. So I'm wondering if there's any way you can stain ceramic tile or paint it to have a more reasonable color to keep clean.
There is something called a ceramic paint, okay? Usually, you will have a better result when it's on the wall, though. On the floor, because of traffic and abuse and use, you might have to have higher upkeep for it.
And also, Walter, I'm thinking that to take the ceramic tile right down to the plywood,
mm-hmm,
the heating coils are going to be right there too, are they not?
Well, usually in the cement when it's hot water.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Yeah, it's just a slab of cement,
yeah,
with the hot water pipes inside the cement.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then the ceramic. So that's my concern, is if I were to just cover on top of the ceramic with floating floor, will the heat still transfer through the house?
It should, okay, it should. It depends on the capacity of the heater itself. You know, it's also about how many layers and how deep they went and so on and so forth. But I would, beforehand, if you have ceramic all over the house? Is that what you said?
Oh, gosh, yeah. They put ceramic, the same color, every room of the house.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so one thing you could do, okay, when you say floating floors, you want to be careful with the word floating floors. I would use maybe more engineered floors because you want something that's going to work with different temperatures and is not going to expand and contract and so on and so forth. So there's something called an engineered tongue and groove.
Okay.
It works better with the humidity and heat and temperature variances. What I would do is I would, you know, take in a small room if you want, and I would do a test just to see. For example, if you have a walk-in closet, and I would see if that will still work in the winter before doing the whole house and then realizing, oh, it's not so good.
Okay. So, but I can put it right over the ceramic rather than taking all the ceramic out.
I mean, the best way would be to take all the ceramic out. Let's be fair here, but it's also a drastic way and it's very costly. So it is worth doing a test. I've seen cases where it worked through even hardwood floors, and there was no problem whatsoever there.
Okay. So Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you for the call. Why would anybody do that? White ceramic tile everywhere in the house.
I know it's.
You know, I've been doing some house hunting, not because I'm looking for a house, but my nephew is his first house. And some of the things you see, you know, like the guy who put a sunroom on the back of the house and all the glass cracked because it wasn't done right.
It's like, that's what keeps us in business, Dave, right?
I guess so, huh? Walter Assey is the president of Renovco. Our telephone number is 514-790-0800. And Star Talk is free on Bell Mobility, of course. And if you're out of town, it's also toll-free for you at 1-800-491-CJD. Please keep in mind that Walter can handle any questions that Jan Eakes can handle or does handle week by week. He's away for the next few weeks in Europe. As a matter of fact, I believe in Belgium. So we'll be back with more of the Home Improvement Show in just a second. Something that I found very interesting, Walter, was some of the grants that the government of Quebec is offering. And we expected to see some grants when it came to Energy Star qualified furnaces and you know, to get people off heating oil, which is such a great idea. But then I kept reading and it was like, really? Replacement of a window air conditioning unit? Or central air conditioning system, which is what you really want, with an Energy Star rating. And it's like, wow, this is starting to look very interesting indeed. You need somebody who really knows what they're doing in this regard, though, and that is Electro-Aid, in my view, a Dave Lennox premier dealer. You need to act fast because there are some things that are going to expire that will, frankly, cost you less. Can you imagine? Year-round total home comfort. That's what Electro-Aid is all about. Electro-Aid for more than 60 years. Financing is always available, too, at 514-333-7460 and electroaid.ca. Welcome back. It's the Home Improvement Show at CJD. Jan is off for a few weeks now, but we're blessed to have Walter Assey, the president of Renovco, here as our expert. And you can ask Walter any question that you had for Jan Eakes, perhaps, at one of these phone numbers, 514-790-0800. Star Talk is free on Bell Mobility, of course. And if you're out of town, that's free of charge at 1-800-491-CJD. Walter, you all set to go back to work? Let's do this in Kirkland. Good morning, Sam.
Hi, good morning.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a duplex, just recently got it, and it's heated by energy, oil, and the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hot water radiator, and I would like to know how to turn it off the system in the summertime, you know, we don't need to use, other than the thermostat.
Well, there's nothing else to do besides shutting down the thermostat.
Turn the thermostat.
Like, let's say you know there's a tenant living in the building, so I would like to turn it off. You know, so myself, there's any way I can turn it off, and also do I have to take care of the water in the system?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't turn it off. It's going to be 6 degrees tonight.
Okay,
so don't turn it off.
So let's. Say for the summertime
when it's hot, yeah.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want you wouldn't want to touch the water in the system. I mean, flushing the water in the system is a big deal. You're going to have issues when it's going to restart. If you have proper thermostats, that's all what you need to do is just turn it off and not worry about it.
Okay. So I have a two thermostat on the main floor and the upstairs. So do I have to turn off both of them at the same time?
Yeah, of course. Especially, do they work? Do you have a main thermostat and then the other one is just a secondary thermostat, or they both work separately?
They both work separately.
Okay, so definitely you either can put them on a setting. So let's say, because you know we're in a bit of an awkward season right now. So one day you'll have 6 degrees at night, other days you have like 12, 15 degrees. So what you could do is you could set it up for a very low temperature, let's say 15 degrees Celsius. Or 14, okay. And will only kick in when, you know, things starts to get cold, and that will be perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam. This is Irving. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I have occasional water infiltration into my garage.
Okay.
Listening over the months to Jan talking about the grade of the earth at the side of the side wall, of the garage, I have done that, and I think I've stopped the damming pretty, or created a dam pretty well. My question is, I'm still getting it occasionally. I have a cedar tree. It's got to be 20 feet tall now. It's very close to the side wall of the garage. My question is, since I can't get in there and grade the earth, do I have any other alternatives? Do I need to check if the French drains are still good, or do I need to check to see if there's a crack in the foundation?
Okay, few questions for you.
Yeah.
Is there a basement below this garage?
No.
Okay. So I can pretty much guarantee that you would not have a French drain around this garage. How old is the house?
How old is the house, Irving?
It's about 50 years.
Okay. So if you had a French drain, it would have been terracotta, and good chance it's not working right now.
Okay.
Do you have any cracks? Do you see any cracks in the foundation? Just visual inspection of the actual foundation of the garage.
No, I have not seen any.
Okay, so we're sure that we don't have any foundation cracks or pinholes that are leaking.
Reasonably. Yeah, okay. I'm reasonably sure.
Now, where is the water coming from? Is it coming from the floor?
To me, it looks like it's coming from where the wall and the floor meet.
Okay. So, you could have some water saturation issues. So, it could be pretty much coming. You would have had some water accumulating around the foundation and it's finding its way underneath and pushing its way up in the slab. So, that could be one problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The other one, believe it or not, could just be from the garage door itself.
Okay.
So, in front of the garage door, if it's not well sloped or sloped down, it could be seeping down, you know, below the weather shield and just finding its way back into the house.
I tell you what I have, Walter, and I have where the seal of the door meets the floor, I have a round pipe, probably a 1-inch pipe, embedded in cement so that there's kind of an elevation.
Okay.
And there's a slope towards the outside drain.
Okay, so we know that that's pretty impossible to happen, that the water will come in through the garage door. Am I correct?
I think so. I think so,
right.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to ask you is when you look at the cement slab in the garage, is there any cracks in it?
There are some. I don't see cracks as much as I see where the cement may have popped in certain areas.
Okay.
I filled in most of them last year. I noticed that after the water has seeped in, I wind up with this a white fuzzy floor in areas where the water came has settled.
Yeah. So that's the efflorescence, obviously, and that's the salt of the cement coming out from the cement itself. So that's
right.
You know. So we know that we have some type of water or humidity issue in that area.
Okay.
So what could be done is we always start with the simple solutions first. So what could be done is to seal these cracks or these areas where the cement have anomalies, okay?
Right.
And then we will see if that works. If that doesn't work, then we have to look at other alternatives and either to channel the water out, looking how much you channel the water out, how much you grade it out. Because let's say you did some grading and it's not done down to 5 feet slopage, you're not really doing great sloping, right?
Okay.
So you need, you know, the gutters. You want to look at the gutters. Are they, you know, also properly extended in that area? So there's multiple things you want to look at.
Right.
But start by sealing the cracks, okay? Because that, I would say 50% of the time that would work. If that doesn't work, then you're gonna have to start looking into other things, how to get the water away. So in certain cases, we installed sump pumps in garages.
Okay.
Just because there was just very high water table underneath the slab.
One question, Walter. Should I seal where the floor and the wall meet?
You mean the slab itself?
Yeah.
With the foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Technically, these two should not touch, right? You could try by just putting a caulking there, but you're kind of putting a band-aid on the problem, right?
Okay.
So the fact that the slab and the foundation are not touching is a good thing because, you know, you don't, if the slab works, you don't want it to crack.
Right, okay.
Right? So you could try by doing those, you know, sealing jobs and caulking jobs and see what happens.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work out, give us a call. We'll tell you what other things to do.
Okay, sir.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Irving, I hope that helps. Thank you very much for the call. If you have a problem around your house, any question that you would ask of Jan, Mr. Assey can handle it this morning at 514-790-0800. Star Talk is available on Bell Mobility for free. And out of town, it's toll-free at 1-800-491-CJD. We have a traffic report coming up for you in just a moment as well. Renovco is Montreal's renovation company with industry credentials, and it has been that way for, I can't believe this, 15 years now. Something that Renovco does, something that Renovco has that I'm not aware of a lot of people having, any companies I mean, that is a design center. And in Renovco's case, it's beautiful. Monday through Saturday, so you could visit today at 11355 Côte d'Alias at La Joie in Doraville. What makes this a good trip to do is that everything you need for your kitchen, bathroom, or basement renovation is right there, along with expert advice. You can even talk to some designers there, all part of the service at Renovco. So again, 11355 Côte d'Alias at La Joie, your first stop for any renovation. 514-856-9993 and renovco.com. Go with more of the Home Improvement Show on CJD 800. Walter Assey, the president of Renovco, is at your service. Jan is gone for a few weeks in Europe, but anything you would have asked of Jan, well, Mr. Assey can certainly take care of that. Let's go to Lavelle. Hello, Mary.
Yes, hello. Hi. My question is, when my washing machine drains, it backs up into my shower.
Well, that's no fun.
How long has it been doing that?
I would say maybe 6 months or so.
Okay, your washing machine. Now,
yes.
Have you looked into the amount of soap you're putting in the machine?
Yes. I know I don't put much soap,
okay,
so I don't think it's that.
You don't think it's that?
No,
okay.
There's a foul smell also when it backs up.
Okay. So what you're probably having is some kind of blockage in the pipe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That happens with sediments and time and so on and so forth. Usually what you want to do, the foul smell is happening obviously because what, you know, the air is being sucked out of the siphon. And what happens is it empties the P-trap and then, you know, sewer gases come back up. So that's the foul smell that you're actually smelling.
Okay.
The easiest proper way to do it is to fish that pipe and make sure that it's probably fished and routed and well cleaned. Because that's probably what you have as a problem.
Does this mean a plumber in the house?
Or you could rent a fish. If someone is handy enough and the problem is not very, very severe, you could rent a fish yourself and do it.
Okay.
Obviously, if you're not that handy, then I would not play around with that so much.
Okay, so it's just a question of getting in there with the fish.
Yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's something is backing up, right? So you know, that's pretty much what this is about. Especially that it worked properly before. Now, if it didn't for a long time, it's not been working properly, then I would look into, like, is it well vented? Is it this? Is it that? But in your case, it's something that's That's probably just that, as simple as that. It's easy to clean. I mean, if you call in a plumber, probably within 25 minutes, the job will be done.
Okay, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ami on the West Island. Did I do well?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question about, in my roof, I have an icicle. In wintertime, I have almost 2-3 foot icicle around the gutter.
Ooh.
Is that for ventilation or anything else?
That could be very much it, okay? And that's something that's very simple for you to do. What you can do is you could go up to your attic, and what you want to see is continuous ventilation all around your soffits, okay? At least 1-inch gap. And when I mean continuous, I mean continuous. I don't mean like, you know, every 3-4 feet you see the sunlight. If you're seeing the sunlight, you want to see it all around the roof, okay? So we make sure that the air is coming in and your attic is breathing properly. The other thing you want to look at is how much insulation we have in the roof as well, okay? So you want to have the proper amount of insulation, okay? Minimum R31. You can go up to R50. The more, the better, without choking up your roof.
Sorry, I forgot to ask. 2 medium.
Okay. Okay. Are you ordering coffee?
Are you still with us, Ami?
No. Yeah, I'm still with you.
I'll have mine without sugar.
Yeah, the best. It's okay. So.
So, but it's only one side of the house. It's not all around.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much where the sun, I mean, depending on how, you know, where you have the sun most of the day and so on and so forth, there's factors for this. But you want to start by the elimination process. So you have the insulation as one, you have the ventilation as the other one. And, you know, you might want to look, if you see that, you know, there's some insulation has been disturbed. So sometimes we have the right amount of ventilation and insulation. But you have to look a bit more in detail. In certain cases, just a question of insulation in the attic has been disturbed. Someone have done some electrical work there or some ventilation work, and you have those air pockets that are forming in that end of the house, creating these types of ice damming. It could also be that you have installed pot lights and they're not properly insulated. And in this case, again, you would have that heat loss that will create condensation and could create ice damming as well.
Do you have somebody to do this service for me? Do you recommend anybody?
Any roofer that, you know, or any contractor that, you know, mostly roofers get looking, good roofers. Because believe me, regular Joe roofers.
I know.
You know, I always tell everybody that the way you know a good roofer is when you want to change your roof and you get them to come to your home is if they actually go into your attic and look at things as well as your shingles.
Ami, on that point, we're going to have to run because we're going to deal with some condensation in Boucherville. So thank you very much for the call. More of your questions for Yannick's, for Walter Assey of Renovco coming up in just a moment.
You're listening to the Voice of Montreal, News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, a division of Bell Media.
All right. We wanted to go all the way to Boucherville and speak with Tony. We only have a couple of minutes. Tony, go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
I'm calling because I get condensation during the winter months on my windows, and when it gets below, let's say, zero a bit, and the house been built in around 2003. I've had that problem ever since then. Okay. Is there anything I can do? Is it the caulking outside, maybe because it's fading away?
Okay, now it's mostly in winter, right? So that's when
in winter, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Even when it gets to, let's say, -3, it does it a bit.
Okay. Have you looked at the relative humidity in your house? So by looking at a hygrometer to just see what the humidity levels are.
Well, I haven't looked exactly, but I do have a system that has a dehumidifier inside. And when I put it really, really low, it solves the problems a bit.
Okay.
But they get really, really wet, even if I bring it really, really down, the dehumidifier.
Sadly, we only have about a minute remaining, gentlemen.
So what could be potentially, I mean, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of things to look for. We talk about relative humidity, especially in the winter, because it's something that you could be, by your lifestyle, producing. So if you do a lot of open boiling, if you have poor fans and extraction fans in the kitchens or the bathrooms, You could be producing this yourself and creating condensation. This is a very airtight house. 2003 is a good insulated house. So that's part of the problem. It's not breathing well. How, do you put your air exchanger in the winter?
I don't know how it's put it, though. That's the problem.
You don't know what? Okay.
I don't know how it's put it.
You want to try that, okay? That's gonna help a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good call. Thank you very much. Well, Walter, that was a busy show. We'll do it again next week, if that's okay with you.
Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey is the president of Renovco for 15 years now. RENOVCO.com, 856-9993, 514 area code. We'll talk bright and early tomorrow morning on CJD 800.